Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Who Knew It with Matt Stewart, the show where the guests write the wrong answers. I'm the titular Matt Stewart, and this week I'm joined by Saren Jayamana, Jess Perkins, and Dave Warnicki.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I'm Saren.
Do we have to say hello in the correct order?
Yes. Well,
okay, now you go Jess. First, Saren.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, now Jess, please.
Hello.
And Dave.
Hello.
Fantastic.
Matt, congrats on a new podcast.
Oh, thanks so much.
Hugely exciting. I'm really proud that for your first episode, you went bold with your guests.
Yes.
And you just went, well, I'll do Jess because we're staying in the same place. Dave's here and Saren lives nearby.
Yes.
You've been staying with Saren for a week.
The one person you know in Sydney.
I could have started this podcast at any time. This is my dream team selection and I picked to do the first episode now when you were all available in
the same place.
I could not have wished for a better three guests.
So it's all downhill from here on your new podcast.
Which is a shame, but yeah, that's where we're at.
So I'm just saying it's a bold way to start, that's all. Yeah.
How are you all doing? I've written that down
in my notes. Yeah.
Welcome, how are you?
Is this the game show host Small Talk with the contestants?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, going well, thank you. My name's Dave. I'm from Melbourne, Australia, and I am a university lecturer. In my spare time, I sell small cars.
I have questions. Are they like toy cars or just like two-door cars exclusively?
Yeah, it's like, you know, a Getz.
Okay, yeah.
Something like that.
Is it a toy Getz or a full-size Getz?
It's a full-size Getz.
And how many doors are on the Getz?
There's only one.
A one-door Getz.
Yeah, I sealed the other one shut.
Okay. Entry via the boot. The boot's a door, right?
Yeah, that's usually like a five-door car, but it's a boot. And you're like, well, that's not fucking helpful, is it?
Fine, it's got four doors. I sealed one door shut.
Are we swearing on this?
Sure. I feel like I've lost control of the show early.
Immediately.
So you might be wondering how this show works.
Hi, I'm Jess. I'm from Melbourne. I'm 21. I'm a Virgo. And I'm here to find love.
Okay. Well, I really need to explain the show before I book guests in future.
Saren, now you introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Saren. I'm from Sydney and I study small cars.
Okay. No wonder you were so curious about what field Dave was talking about.
But the toy variety.
Okay.
It's not a match. That's a no from me, Burjo.
It's not a matchbox car.
Please allow me to explain the show to you guests and also to the listeners at home. So how it works is I ask a question and the contestants have to write a convincing fake answer. Then I read the fake answers as well as the real answer to our contestants and they have to pick which one they believe to be correct. Does that make some sort of sense?
Yes.
It becomes clearer as we go, okay?
Yeah, for sure.
So each of these guests here, you've all got a way to communicate your answers with me. I see you've all got these sort of pocket sort of computer devices.
I was actually going to go with telepathic.
Okay.
I was going to get my pigeon to bring it over to you.
Well, you know, you can... I was wondering why you had Pidge here, but that's great.
I was going to go with some smoke signals.
Okay.
I'm going to scream it at you.
Well, that's the only one that will make the game harder.
Okay.
Well, I think this fire that I've lit.
That's right. He's fine with the fire.
We have a limited amount of time.
Okay. So here is the first question. This one comes from listener Michaela from Awabakal country here in New South Wales. So each of the questions has been written by a listener, which is weird as this is the first episode, but this is part of the Dugon podcast network and our Patreon supporters have given us these questions. So first question is, what is a nitty noddy? What is a nitty noddy? So you've each got to write an answer, send it through to me and, you know, make it as convincing as you like. Probably the more convincing, the better. That's how you're going to win points. And while you're writing your answers, I'll explain how the scoring works. So contestants will get 1 point if they correctly guess the answer and another point if the other contestant guesses their fake answer. So that really means that there are 3 points up for grabs each round. By the way, I'm also playing as the house. I've put in 2 of my own fake answers for each question, usually with the listener / suggestors help. And I get a point for each one of those that our guests choose. So I've also got 3 points up for grabs. So let's see. Have they got their answers in? Jess Perkins has locked in an answer. Saran has got an answer in. And Dave Warnicky.
Oh, for a second there, I panicked and thought I'd message this definition to someone else on Facebook. Because you were like, oh, and Dave, and I'm like, I've sent it. Oh, no.
I swear.
Just like to someone I haven't spoken to in years. Yeah.
To Stu Matthews.
Yeah. Stu Matthews from the Science Hour. It's something that no one would understand. All right. The answers are in. Are you ready?
Yes.
For question number one. What is a nitty noddy? Is it a dollhouse for naughty dolls, a hair detangling device, a tool that helps wind yarn, a Danish gnome,
We've lost him already.
So quick, straight him. Away.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, no, this could be the real answer.
Have you ever read the real answer before? Because it could surprise you like this. Surely.
That's right. I haven't read any of the answers out before. So this could be the real answer. Is it a Danish gnome often depicted wearing a sack? Is it a fancy hat that was known to make some wearers nod their heads due to its hefty weight?
Ooh.
Or was it a fool or idiot? Okay, so the options are for nitty noddy. Is it a dollhouse for naughty dolls, a hair detangling device, a tool that helps wind yarn, a Danish gnome often depicted wearing a sack? Is it a fancy hat that was known to make some wearers nod their heads due to its hefty weight, or was it a fool or idiot? Because if one of these is correct.
How do you have so many answers, by the way?
It's too many.
So you've given us three. There's the correct answer, and then the house is also thrown in two. So there's six possibilities.
Yeah. Matt's thrown one, an extra one to try and
what
throw
are those?
You off.
I didn't know if it was just the one long answer.
A fool or idiot is one answer.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so Jess, do you want to go first?
I'm going between there's a yarn one and a hair detangling one.
Yep.
I think I'm going between those.
Okay.
I'm going to say hair detangling.
Hair detangler for Jess.
I think it's going to be a fool or idiot.
Fool or idiot.
I wish it was a Danish gnome.
And what's he wearing again? The Danish gnome?
Wearing a sack.
No, often, not always. Often depicted wearing a sack.
Okay,
Beautiful detail.
I was also thinking hair detangling. That's fantastic. So I'm going to lock that in too.
It just feels like, you know how like you see products that are quite useful, but they have funny, silly names, like the ShamWow.
Yeah, or you're like, it's something that What's New would have stocked in the
totally.
Early 2000s.
It's a nitty noddy and it's like detangles your hair or spins yarn, one of the two.
Okay, so let's go through the answers. A dollhouse for naughty dolls was Saran's answer.
Ooh.
Then we had a Danish gnome often depicted wearing a sack. That was Dave's answer.
Yep, that was no surprise. Having played this before, and Dave has made you laugh like that three times now.
We've practiced this game a few times on the Patreon feed. If you do like it, sign up at patreon.com/dugongpod.
That was the answer that I thought was one answer. I thought it was a Danish gnome often depicted wearing a sack as a hat. Right. A little bit too...
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And that was Michaela's one, the fancy hat one.
Okay. That's a good one.
Then we had... a fool or idiot, which Saran guessed, that was Jess's. So 1 point for Jess there.
Oof.
Then it's down to Jess's too. You were right. It was one of the hair detangling device or the yarn tool. Unfortunately, the correct answer was the tool that helps wind yarn.
No.
A hair detangling device was also Michaela's answer. Okay, the house.
Great work, Michaela.
So well, the house gets 2 points there. Jess gets one.
Damn that evil house.
And Dave and Saran both yet to score. Here comes question number two. This one comes from Darcy Nugent in Geelong, writing, which of the following is a real TISM song? So TISM's a Melbourne band. You've basically got to come up, just got to write a fake name for a TISM song. For some context, here are some names of their singles that they released over the years, including He'll Never Be an Old Man River, Everyone else has had more sex than me. Greg the stop sign and defecate on my face. So there's some examples of the kinds of song titles you could be going for. So we're going to end up with five fake TISM song names and you're going to have to guess what the real one is. While you're writing those out, here's some more information on Nitty Noddies. According to Woolery.com, the Nitty Noddy is an essential piece of spinning equipment used for winding yarn into skeins. To measure how long your skein or skein is, your Nitty Noddy will measure the length from end of the arm diagonally to the next, then multiply it by two. An 18-inch Nitty Noddy will wind a skein that is 1 yard in length. If it is a yard long, then the skein will be 2 yards long. I think that clears things up nicely.
Absolutely.
There.
Thank you for that definition.
I love skein.
Michaela wrote this. Traditionally, the Nitty Noddy was used to the rhythm of a song, the opening line of which ran, Nitty Noddy, Nitty Noddy, two heads and one body. So that's how people in the olden days would use a Nitty Noddy while singing, I guess.
I thought you... Yeah, okay.
You thought I was losing my mind?
Well, I thought you thought that people in the olden days had two heads and one body.
Okay. Well, yeah, I guess that's probably also true.
True.
Yeah. Bonus point for Sarah.
Great.
All right. So here is question number two.
Watching these guys to see their reaction.
Oh, that's clever. So the question is, which of the following is a real TISM song? Is it Sometimes I Feel Like That Little Bar You Use to Separate Your Groceries from the Groceries of the Person Who Beat You to the Checkout? Is it Amid Daryl Summer's Night's Dream?
Oh, that's great.
That's so good.
Is it The Blister on My Arsehole Is Married to My Step Cousin? Is it Fat Boy Slim Dusty? Is it The Tyrannical Reign of King Willy Wheaty? Or is it Hemingway's Dad Had It Cut Out for Him? Okay, so you got six options there. Do you need to hear any of them again?
Yeah, all of them, I think.
Yes, from the top, please.
Okay, so you got Sometimes I Feel Like That Little Bar You Use to Separate Your Groceries from the Groceries of the Person Who Beat You to the Checkout. Is it Amid Daryl Summer's Night's Dream? Is it The Blister on My Arsehole Is Married to My Step Cousin? Is it Fat Boy Slim Dusty? Is it The Tyrannical Reign of King Willy Wheaty? Or is it Hemingway's Dad Had It Cut Out for Him?
My goodness. Okay. Who's going first on this one?
Would you like to go first, Seren?
Okay. I think it's the Midnight Daryl Summer's Dream.
That's so funny.
I think it's that or the Slim Dusty one. Because they did do a lot of that sort of...
Yeah, portmanteau sort of stuff.
So you're locking that one in?
Yeah, I'm going to lock that
I'm
in.
I'm going to go with the King Willy Wheaty.
Yeah.
All right, Do you remember King Willy Wheaty?
Yeah,
because it was the mascot for
Uncle Toby's.
Uncle Toby's Wheaties breakfast cereal.
Like Matt was talking about that recently.
I was, yeah, I reckon I was too.
He was also talking about Daryl Summers.
That's true. He always talks about Daryl Summers.
And the blister on my arsehole. So it is hard to know. All right,
I'm going to say Slim. Or had you already just taken?
I thought you locked it in. You're locking it in?
Yeah, I'm locking it in.
Great.
Fat Boy Slim Dusty.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would believe that all of these could have been TISM songs.
Absolutely.
The Sometimes I Feel Like That Little Bar You Used to Separate Your Groceries from the Groceries of the Person Who Beat You to the Checkout. That was Saran's.
That's a good one.
That's good.
It's a good song.
It's also all the lyrics to the song.
Oh, wow.
They also had
nice.
A few songs that were very long, song titles very long like that as well.
Yeah.
The blister on my arsehole is married to my step cousin. That was Jess's.
Where did that come from?
My arsehole.
Oh, well done.
Hemingway's dad had it cut out for him was Dave's.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Thank you.
Is that referring to his appendix or what?
No, I just thought it sounded like something that they'd call a song. They, you know, pick a literary figure and then write something about their dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was trying to do a pun about Oscar Wilde and call it something wild about Oscars, but then I thought it wouldn't make that much sense if you didn't see it written down, so right. I changed it to Hemingway.
A beautiful insight into
a
your
beautiful
process.
Journey, beautiful
Thank you.
Insight.
Thank you so much. I show my workings out.
The Tyrannical Reign of King Willy Wheaty was written by The House, Dave.
Oh, curse you, House, but that was very good.
Amid Daryl Summer's Night's Dream was also written by The House.
What?
Oh, great. That's writing. The
2 points
good writing
for
by
the house. So they were both written by Darcy Nugent.
Really? Incredible. Well done, Darcy. That I Yeah.
Well, now Tism are back together, I'll be submitting those song titles.
Which leaves only the correct answer, Fatboy Slim Dusty. Oh. So Jess gets another point there. It went exactly the same as first round. 1 point to Jess, 2 points to the house.
Surrenders. We're slipping behind here, mate.
It's a big, yeah, there's a big gaping chasm.
Oh, just like Jess's cousin partner.
Question three comes from Paige Carroll in Arizona. Question three is, which of these fish is real? So you've just basically got to come up with a fake fish name. Name for a fake species of fish.
Okay.
Okay. And while you're writing your answers, here are the lyrics of the first verse of Fatboy Slim Dusty. Ecstasy's had a bad rap. The drug's okay, but the music's crap. Techno's made with computer cable, sampling machine, and an old turntable. Get a loop, then cut and paste her. Buy a trip and lick the paper. There's new school, old school, prep school too. There's DJs that nobody knew. But now they're known for doing what? Ideas? Music? Melody? Nup. They don't sing. They're not able. They put a record on a turntable. It's beautiful stuff. When I read it, it really feels more like poetry than pop music. But so, question number three. Which of these fish is real? Is it broomfish? Two-finned squibfish? Sarcastic fringe head?
Oh.
Is it the slimy, grimy, mimey? Cock-headed dogfish? Or is it Daryl Summers fish?
What are the chances?
So we have to guess which one is real.
One of these six is a real fish. Is it broomfish, two-finned squibfish, sarcastic fringe head, the slimy, grimy, mimey, cock-headed dogfish, or Daryl Summers fish? One of these is a real fish.
What's the first? What's after broom?
Two-finned squibfish.
Sounds like a Dr. Seuss.
It does.
It sounds like a gangster from Lock, Stock and Two.
Yeah.
Oh, it's old two squid squibfish.
Old two-finned squibfish over here. Who said you could show your face in this town?
By order of the peaky fucking squibfish.
All right, so I think, Dave, you haven't gone first yet.
I mean, the only one that's not extremely ridiculous is broom, and I'm like, is that in there?
Yeah, because there's always fish with like kind of boring names or...
Yeah, that look like stuff.
But would a broom, would the little brush be at the end, or is it just got the stick?
Is it a long fish? Or is it from broom?
Oh, how's broom spelled, Matt?
Like the sweeper, not the city. Okay.
Okay. That's what I wanted to hear. Let me lock in broom.
That's what I wanted to hear. All right, Dave's locked in.
They'd never name it after a city, but a broom.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I'm going with the two-finned squibfish.
Yeah.
Two-finned squibfish. And Bopper?
There was another one that I thought it could have been.
So there was sarcastic fringe head, slimy, grimy, mimey, cock-headed dogfish.
Cock-headed dogfish.
Yeah, cock-headed dogfish for Bop.
Yeah, it could be, couldn't it?
Fish have weird names.
This is
and like when I'm right, we'll Google it and we'll be like, that is a cock-headed dogfish. You know, they're always like, you look at it, you're like, its head looks like a chicken,
yeah,
but its body looks like a dog.
Can I just check the spelling on cock-headed dogfish?
Yes, cockheaded space dogfish.
Okay.
As expected.
No, that's not the one I was thinking. Yeah.
How do you spell cock?
I won't lock it in.
All right, so let's see who answered what. Daryl Summers fish is not correct. That was written by Seren.
That's good.
I don't know. Where do you get your ideas?
I love to see how his mind works.
Daryl Summers, I haven't thought about him in years.
The slimy, grimy, mimey was Dave's.
Guilty.
That's guilty.
I found that quite believable. Then we had the two-finned squibfish, which was written by the house.
Oh.
A.K.A. Paige Carroll from Arizona in this case.
Well done, Paige. That's a good one.
We had the broomfish, which was written by Jess.
There's a broom out there. Oh. And then I talked you into it.
I forgot Jess can only write things she sees.
Damn.
I'm surprised it wasn't couch fish or
rug fish,
podcast fish,
Soren fish,
Soren and Dave fish,
Soren, Dave and Matt fish, friend fish.
So there's two options left. Was Jess right? No. Cock-headed dogfish was written by me. The house.
Really? The correct one? Cock-headed dogfish.
I can't believe you picked it. The correct one.
So
no,
we
one...
shouldn't Google it? Is that
no,
the...
I yeah, would not Google yeah, cock-headed dogfish. The correct one was sarcastic fringe
really?
Head.
No way.
Yeah.
No.
What a weird
I
name for a fish.
I didn't think they'd put that. I didn't think they'd, like, sometimes they'll name a fish after something it vaguely looks like, but I didn't think they'd name the fish after its vibe.
Yeah, you can't give it a mood.
Yeah.
It's well, not a it's not a good looking fish. This is another fish I wouldn't look up just because it is
ugly.
It is an ugly fish.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so what's the score now then?
Well, every round's gone the same. 1 point to Jess, two points to the house.
I forgot I got a point there. Sucked in, Dave, you idiot. Look out the window once in a while, dickhead.
So just to recap, how many am I on?
Sorry, you're on zero. But I mean, it looks like it was made by Jim Henson, this fish. Have a look at that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a Jim Henson fish.
That's ugly. Do you think it was one of those fish that, like, they got Guardian readers to name or something?
Yeah.
Oh, could be. Have a
you
look at
it. Should have been Fishy McFish fish.
I think Broomfish.
When it opens its mouth, look at that. Isn't that that's horrendous?
That's erotic.
That's not sarcastic at all.
No. All right, so, geez, we're coming up to the halfway mark here. We're up to question number 4 of 7. Don't question my maths. David Chisholm from Thunder Bay in Canada writes
Thunder Bay.
The following question. Oof. On December 23rd, 1979, what did Boston Bruin player Mike Milbury do that resulted in him being suspended for 6 games? Boston Bruin player, so this is in the National Hockey League, ice hockey in America. What did Mike Milbury do that resulted in him being suspended for 6 games? While you're writing your answers... For the listeners at home, here's a little bit more information about the sarcastic fringe head. According to this great website I found, wikipedia.org, the sarcastic fringe head is a small but very hardy saltwater fish that has a large mouth and aggressive territorial behavior. And that's why it's been given its common name, because of its aggressive territorial behavior. I don't fully connect the two there, but anyway... When two fringe heads have a territorial battle, they wrestle by pressing their distended mouths against each other.
They smooch.
As if they were kissing. This allows them to determine which is the larger fish, and that establishes who's the dominant fish.
Oh, it's all about mouth size. Yeah. Like, I've got a bigger mouth.
The animal
I'm the
kingdom.
King fish.
Isn't the animal kingdom fascinating?
Yeah, they get some things right.
Okay, Jess has got her answer in.
And it's good.
And it is good. Good enough to fool Dave again? Has Dave guessed yours every time?
I just love Jess's work.
Dave's my biggest fan. I love Dave.
Look around the room, Dave. See if there's any inspiration.
Okay. What did he do? He had an air conditioner TV.
What's an air conditioner TV?
Well, we're going to find out.
That's the future. That's what it is.
All right, everyone's got their answers in. Are you ready?
Ready.
So you got to tell me which one of these is the reason that Boston Bruins player Mike Milbury was suspended for 6 games in 1979, December 23rd. Jeez, it's wild they play so close to Christmas over there.
Yeah. It's like, don't they have holidays? Take a break. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
Okay, no, it's about work-life balance.
Exactly. Come on, Mike
Don't
Milbury.
Don't you have families? Friends? Don't you want presents?
All right. Which one of these is the reason he was suspended? Smoked a cigarette on the ice while playing?
That is badass.
That's bad boy stuff. You can just imagine it poking through his helmet.
I wouldn't suspend him for 6 games. I'd give him 6 more games.
Yeah, I would suspend everyone else. Yeah. Not.
I'm thinking, but the 70s, they were probably all smoking on the ice.
Yeah
true. Nothing.
Butting it out on the ice. Yeah. There's all these sort of like melted bits of the rink. Did he climb into the stands and beat a fan with his own shoe?
No, I think it was someone else's shoe.
Because he's probably wearing like ice skates.
Yeah, exactly. They're
hard to get off
so
quickly.
Is that a way of saying he killed a man?
Did he kiss one of his opponents on the lips? Did he give the ref a massive wedgie?
Massive is so good. Massive.
Did he hide the puck down his pants and run off the ice? Or did he pee during the game, turning the entire rink a yellowish hue?
The entire, the entire rink.
What a piss.
That's a big piss. So he smoked a cigarette.
So that's the right answer. He did do that.
He climbed into the stands.
All right, giving it away here.
I will lock in A, please.
Beat a fan with his own shoe. I think that means with the fan's own shoe.
Yeah.
Because you're right. He would be wearing a skate.
Yeah.
Kissed one of his opponents on the lips. Gave the ref a massive wedgie. Hid the puck down his pants and ran off the ice or peed during the game, turning the entire rink a yellowish hue. One of these is correct.
Fantastic use of the word hue there.
What did Mike Milbury do? All right, I think, are we up to Sarand first crack?
Okay.
Or Jess's first crack?
Yeah, I think it's me.
Oh. What are you thinking, Bob?
Just to help you out there, Sarand.
No, I appreciate
it. I'm going to go for beating a fan with his own shoe.
Beating a fan with his own shoe, yep. For Jess?
Sarand? I think it's either that or he put the puck down his pants
and ran away.
And ran
away.
Sure,
they just have like they'd have other pucks. Like, why does he get suspended for that?
Yeah, I guess it's a bit of a faux pas to run away with the puck.
Sure, but like, and do you suspend him for six games?
Who knows? Like in Aussie rules footy, they used to only have one ball for the game.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, this is 1979.
They weren't made of pucks then, Jess.
Yeah.
He knew Christmas was coming up and his son, all he wanted for Christmas was a puck.
Daddy, can I have my own puck for Christmas? I've been such a good boy, Daddy.
Who knows why he beat that guy to death with his own shoe? Probably because he stole the puck.
Yeah, okay.
That's for my son.
My little English boy.
So you're looking at
say puck.
The puck one for Saran? Okay. And Dave?
What are the other four? What are the other four again? Remind me.
So you got smoked a cigarette?
Yeah.
Kissed an opponent on the lips, massive wedgie, or peeing and turning the whole rink a yellowish.
Sometimes I want it to be wedgie. You got
to
go with your dreams, and I want it to be wedgie, yeah. And I want it to be a massive wedgie, and I'm going to lock that in.
Yeah, the massive in there is massive. Very funny.
Okay, so smoked a cigarette on the ice while playing. That was one of mine. That was the house. No one picked that one.
All right, don't feel too bad.
Kissed one of his opponents on the lips. That was Jess. And of course,
they're all homophobic back then.
Right.
And also, Dave and I were kissing on the lips when Jess looked across the room before writing her answer.
That's worth the 6-game ban.
peeing on the rink during the game. That was Sarand.
Yeah.
Hugh, fantastic word.
Yeah.
Beautiful use of Hugh.
Thanks.
Then we had hid the puck down his pants. That's the one Sarand went with. That was Dave's first point.
Thank you, Sarand. Appreciate it.
You're on the board.
Dave went with giving the ref a massive wedgie. I wrote that one, so that's another point for the house.
Damn you, house.
Meaning that Jess was correct. The true story is he climbed into the stand and beat a fan with the fan's own shoe.
6 weeks he was suspended.
6 weeks, yeah.
Any sort of prison time?
Yeah, he went away for quite a while. Yeah.
Six weeks.
Yeah, you can't play because you are literally behind bars.
We'd love to have you, and we see no problem with what you did, but the law.
So that is 1 point for the house. That is 1 point for Dave and 1 point for Jess. Saran languishing on 0, but Dave is finally on the board. And Jess is, you know, just consistently picking up a point each round. So a quick score check after 4 rounds. Saran is on 0 points. Dave is on 1 point. Jess is on 4 points. And the house is on 7 points.
Oh. 4-7?
This game is very much skewed towards the house.
Yeah, the house always wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I'll need to do it so there's one less house option. But yeah, anyway. this is a conversation for off the mic, I guess. All right, we're up to question number 5. This one comes from Luke Perlberg from New York City.
Perlberg?
Never heard that. I love it.
And on the form that I get people to submit their questions in, I get them, I say, if you want to write it phonetically so I don't stuff up the pronunciation of your name, Luke used that. He said, Pearl like the jewel, Berg like what sunk Titanic.
That's nice.
Perlberg.
Yeah. So you know it's not Pearl Burge.
No, yeah, that's right.
That's good to be.
It's not Pearl Burge. Pearl Burge. Luke Pearl Burge.
I like that better, actually, but Pearl Burge's fine.
Yeah, we'll take that as a suggestion, Luke. You can zhuzh up your name a little if you desire.
Yeah, however you choose.
So Luke's question is, what world record has Nick Stoberl held since 2012? What world record has Nick Stoberl...
Burl, like the thing that struck the eye of the Titanic.
What has he held since 2012? And Dave, it really feels like this is playing into your strong suit. You're a big world record nerd. Are you familiar with Nick's work here?
Yes, I am. You're about to find out.
Okay. Do you need to hear that anymore?
Yeah, could you repeat Stoberl?
So what world record has Nick Stoberl held since 2012?
Ooh.
Because it's just a big world record, a modern world record. So 10 years now, Nick's held the record for. While you're writing your answers, here's a bit more on the Mike Milbury incident. According to the Bleacher Report, they wrote, imagine getting beaten by your own shoe. Well, that was what one unlucky New York Ranger fan experienced at the hands of former Boston Bruin, Mad Mike Milbury. He got the nickname Mad from this incident. In what could be described as another incident in the long Boston-New York sports rivalry, the shoe incident, as it's now known, will long be remembered as one of the funniest moments in sport. The incident occurred immediately at the end of a 1979 game in which the Bruins defeated the Rangers 4-3. Someone from the crowd threw a tennis ball out onto the ice, stopping the Rangers from being able to score an equaliser. And then the crowd erupted. All hell broke loose when a fan took a stick and hit Bruin Stan Jonathan from above the glass. Jonathan's teammate, Terry O'Reilly, immediately jumped into the stands and went after the fan. Soon other Ranger fans got involved. This prompted the Bruins to join O'Reilly in the stands to fight. Bruin Peter McNabb went after a fan. Mike Milbury, who thought that McNabb was in trouble, grabbed the fan by the leg and in the process pulled off one of his shoes. Milbury then proceeded to hit the fan with his own shoe. I love how this is one of the funniest incidents.
It was hilarious.
Milbury and McNabb were suspended for 6 games and fined $500. And O'Reilly got suspended for 8 games and was also fined $500.
After he beat him up with his own shoe, was there blood everywhere and the ice was turned a reddish hue.
A reddish shoe, that's right. A reddish shoe.
Yeah, you wonder, did he wear his own shoe home that night?
Yeah, well, he didn't. So in another article I read about it, I went pretty deep diving, wow, reading articles about this. Mad Mike Milbury was so upset that he then took the shoe, threw it onto the ice rink so the fan couldn't get it. And he's like, so that made me feel good knowing that he was walking home with only one shoe.
Worth every game suspension.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So the question is, this is question 5, what world record has Nick Stoberl held since 2012? The longest time spent inside a supermarket freezer? The world's longest tongue? The highest high dive at 60 meters? The world's stretchiest skin?
Ooh.
That was a great reaction. World's largest retaining wall installed by a single person. I don't know if that's marital status or just the fact that they were the only one working on the job.
It's unmarried whilst doing it.
Somebody's made a much longer one, but yeah, unfortunately he has a wife.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, he's like, fuck, Sharon, holding me back again.
Or the largest collection of miniature toy pandas.
Oh. Okay, from the top again, please.
Okay, so who's answering first? I think this is Soren's gets first crack here. The longest time spent inside a supermarket freezer, the world's longest tongue, highest high dive, world's stretchiest skin, world's largest retaining wall installed by a single person, or largest collection of miniature toy pandas?
I think it's going to be, I reckon, world's stretchiest skin.
Oh, yuck.
Look, I was also leaning that way between that one and maybe the tongue one.
Because I feel like that's a record you have for life.
Yeah, that's true. Unless until somebody stretchier comes along.
Until someone stretchier comes along. There's always someone stretchier always to someone come stretchier. Along.
But I feel like people with stretchy skin probably trying to keep it to themselves. So they're not thinking about the record.
Oh, yeah. They're ashamed of their stretchy skin.
I don't know if you've seen any issues of the World Guinness Book of World Records. There's not a lot of shame going on in there. I've just realised, yeah, I credited this question to Luke Perlberg. This was not Luke Perlberg at all. This question was written by Joff from Colac.
Oh, Joff.
Luke Perlberg wrote a different question that I have not included this week.
Sorry, Luke.
Sorry, Luke.
And hello, Joff.
Next time.
I'm going to say longest tongue.
Longest tongue for Dove.
I'm also saying longest tongue.
Longest tongue for Jess.
Tell us we're right, Joff.
Longest time spent inside a supermarket freezer. That was written by me. The house.
That's a great. It's so good. It's so good.
The largest collection of miniature toy pandas was Seren.
I wanted it to be somewhat believable.
How many were you imagining?
Seven.
That's too many toy pandas. So yeah.
That's too many miniature. Like miniature. How small? How small is miniature?
The record was held before that for like 50 years when someone had six.
But is anything smaller than a giant panda miniature?
The world's largest retaining wall installed by a single person was written by Dave.
Thank you.
Now, was it marital status?
No, it's just one man.
One man.
One man, one retaining wall. One record to rule them all.
Great acting, Dave. You gave that the biggest laugh.
That's right. Thank you.
No, he found that the funniest.
Very, very proud of his own work.
I thought the funniest one for me was the freezer, but I had to make it look like that was me.
So. The highest high dive was Jess.
I wanted it to be something you might pick.
So
you're playing the game.
For once.
Not just mucking around.
I'm just having a bit of a muck around.
So someone here is correct. It's either stretchiest skin or longest tongue.
Oof.
The world's stretchiest skin was suggested by Joff.
Oh,
the correct answer is world's longest tongue. So a point to Dave and Jess.
Yes.
Wow. Nick Stromo.
Is that his name? Nick Strogerson.
Strobel. So that's 1 point to Dave, 1 point to Jess, 1 point to the house.
Damn you.
Jeez, we're getting close to the end here. Only two questions to go. This next one comes from Kat Ford from Upper Hutt in New Zealand.
Upper Hutt.
Upper Hutt.
Get Upper Hutt.
Kat's question is, what obscure international holiday is celebrated on February 23rd? What obscure international holiday is celebrated on February 23rd?
It's an international holiday.
International holiday, but it's obscure. While you're writing your answers there, I'll tell you a little bit more about Nick the Lick Stobel.
Nick the Lick.
That's good.
That sucks. I'm gonna look at this tongue.
It's no hick from St. Lick, but it's pretty good.
So this is according to an America's Got Talent fan page.
Look at that, Seren.
Nick the Lick.
That's a long tongue.
Nick the Lick's from Monterey in California. And he has the Guinness World Record for the longest tongue. That is a long tongue.
He's got an intense stare as well.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to. He could...
Yeah, he could let the tongue do the work.
Yeah.
Get this. He's the host of Tongue Show on YouTube.
He's really lent into his one thing, hasn't he?
Nicholas's tongue, the longest tongue, measures 10.1 centimetres, nearly 4 inches, from its tip to the middle of the closed top lip. He auditioned on episode 1,105 of America's Got Talent. His act consisted of painting a picture of a flower with his tongue. All four judges voted no, eliminating him from the competition.
Immediately, get off.
I looked up Nick Stobel net worth, $16 million.
Whoa.
And these things are always very accurate.
Yes.
I'm looking up, like, there's another guy with a long tongue that's almost as long, and it says, meet the guy that can lick his own elbow I can do that. I can do that, and I didn't even have a long tongue. Just saying. Just fucking saying. Where's my $16 million?
Everyone's got their answers in. Here we go. So we've got six options.
Okay.
What obscure international holiday is celebrated on February 23rd? Be Kind to Lawyers Day, International Dog Biscuit Appreciation Day,
oh.
World Penguin Day, Live Like a Bird Day, Daryl Summers Day, or International Virgins Day?
Well, Dave, obviously you'd know when that one is.
It's not in February, guys.
That makes sense because it's 9 days after Valentine's
exactly.
Day. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh.
They had 8 days to organise and then...
Yeah, they finally have to come to grips.
Yeah, it's not happening. It's
9 days. So I can't call this delayed Valentine's Day anymore. It is still a V Day, but unfortunately. So I got Be Kind to Lawyers Day, International Dog Biscuit Day, World Penguin Day, Live Like a Bird Day, International Virgins Day, or Daryl Summers Day.
It's your day. It's Daryl Summers Day.
Dave?
That's the theme to Woman's Day, for anyone wondering. I'm
the theme to Woman's Day, the magazine?
Because I remember the ads.
Okay. I'm like, you mean you're reading and you're singing it to yourself?
It's my day.
Magazines don't have themes.
It's I love you, Woman's Day. You're my best friend.
Is it my turn to go first?
Yeah, what do you reckon?
I'm going to go International Lawyers Day.
Be nice kind to Lawyers Day.
Yes.
That sucks.
Jess, what do you reckon?
I'm going to go for Penguin Day. World just because I hope it's true. But it's I also hope that Act Like a Bird Day is a thing.
Live like a bird.
Live like a bird. Yeah, live like a bird.
What are you doing
get
on
your nest?
Vomit in your kid's mouth.
Forage for worms.
What are you thinking, Saran?
I think it's Penguin Day as well.
Two for Penguin Day.
Nobody thinks it's Virgin Day?
No, oh, come on. Is that you, Jess?
All right, let's. I reckon you could. It's funny by this question six, you could almost guess who's written what.
Yeah, I'm getting a good sense of Soren's style.
Daryl Summers Day was written by Soren.
Ah.
Oh, I'm actually not getting a sense of your style then.
But I was just looking out the window and Daryl Summers.
International Virgins Day was written by Jess.
Yeah, I thought that would trap Dave.
Yeah, he's trying to bring me down, have a crack. All right.
He was like, there's a day for us. I could meet like-minded people.
Soren, I want you to know I'm not a virgin. I need you to know.
He's always protesting.
I'm always saying I'll provide proof. I'm threatening to provide proof.
But it's like International Virgins Day as well. So I wonder if you've lost your virginity here in Australia, but they might not recognize that when you go to America.
You still get your V card in America, for instance.
You've got to get that stamped.
You really got to prove it.
Live Like a Bird Day. That was mine.
That's fun.
That is fun.
We had Be Kind to Lawyers Day. Dave selected that. That was also The House.
Oh, good one, House.
But that was written by Kat Ford and is a real day, just not on Feb 23rd.
Oh, that's good.
We might be on here.
We might be.
Jess.
Is there two left?
There are two left.
Oh, we might not be on here.
Either Penguin or Dog Biscuit Day.
Why the fuck? Why would it be for Dog Biscuit?
Dog Biscuit Appreciation.
But is it if it's by a dog biscuit company or something?
World Penguin Day was written by Dave. 2 points to Dave.
No.
Thank you.
And
you
the
walked
correct,
right into that trap.
The correct answer was International Dog Biscuit Appreciation Day. So that is two points to Dave, 1 point to the House.
Okay, so hang on. When we have these international days, right? Okay, hang on a second. Do dogs have calendars?
Oh, good.
Can dogs read?
Okay.
Is there a day dogs don't appreciate dog biscuits?
Well, let me put this to you. Do dog biscuits have calendars? Do dog biscuits read?
No.
You know what I mean? Oh, no, that's also true. Yeah, they also don't. I thought I had you for a second.
It's a bullshit day.
Yeah,
it's a bullshit day made up to sell more dog biscuits. I think we should change it to Virgin's Day and get Dave some friends.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Did you look up when International Virgins Day is?
February 29th.
Damn it!
It's the day after Valentine's Day.
Day of the Virgin of Guadalupe I think that's religious. That's a religious celebration. National Virgin Day is on the 10th of June.
Yeah, June feels about right.
Yeah.
June's got a real virgin feel.
Got a virgin vibe there.
All right, so I'll tell everyone a bit more about Dog Biscuit Appreciation Day while you're writing your answer to the final question.
Great.
And we like to finish with a movie synopsis question.
Oh, God.
I'd love to get on the board here. So.
Oh, yeah, still, is Seren still on zero?
So, quick score check. We've got Seren on zero, Dave on four, Jess on five, and the house on nine.
So how many points is this last one worth?
Let's go double points.
60.
Triple points?
60.
Triple points, so 9 points up for grabs, max. Triple points last round, okay?
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Only because you asked so nicely, Bill. So this final question comes from Matt Rowe from Stanmore in New South Wales. What is the synopsis of the 1990 fantasy epic film Time Barbarians?
Time of Barbarians? Time Barbarians.
Barbarians. And it's hard to say that.
T-H-Y-M-E?
Yes, yes. Yes, 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 yes. Time Barbarians. No, T-I-M-E, Barbarians. So while you're writing your answers down, here's some more info.
And what year was this film?
1990, okay. The year of your birth.
A good year.
According to nationaltoday.com, no one quite knows the origin of this wagtastic holiday. I hate this article already. But we all know that dogs love these treats. We all know that. If anyone loves dog treats, it's dogs. Created in the mid-19th century by American James Spratt, the cake-like biscuit comprised of meat, grains, and vegetables have evolved over time, but are still dogs' favorite reward. So let's raise a baked treat to International Dog Biscuit Appreciation Day and our companions who love them. Now, if you're out there going, how do you celebrate International Dog Appreciation Day? Luckily, the website nationaltoday.com has a few suggestions, including call, text, email, or tweet your friends and have them join you for a doggy play date. Don't know if they needed to. Like, they could just say contact your friends. Call, text, email, or tweet. Only those options. Or another suggestion they say is get festive, get messy, get decorative. Invite some friends, buy plain dog biscuits, grab dog-safe decorating icing, and let your creativity flow. Reward the best decorated, and then let your dogs enjoy. Fuck, that sounds like, that it does sound like fun. It's a shame we can only do it once a year. They are still writing their answers here.
Mine is in, so we can have a little chat if you like.
Oh, I'd love to have a chat. You're a dog man, or yeah. You're an owner of a dog. You're not a part dog, part man.
No, I wish I was. I don't know. I do have a dog, and I do appreciate a good dog biscuit, but I don't think a full day needs to be devoted.
Okay.
Maybe personally, a morning.
Yes, exactly. A little breakfast.
A morning tea.
Yeah, and it's just dog food. And it makes you appreciate, your dog appreciates it, but it also makes you appreciate human food.
Yeah, you're like, can't wait to get out of this morning go have some actual breakfast. Yeah.
My goodness.
But also, what am I feeding my dog?
Wow.
Ah, he's a dog. He eats his own shit.
Yeah. And thankfully, that's not on the menu today.
Seren, does your dog eat shit?
Often.
Yeah. Why do they like shit so
Wombat
much?
Wombat shit.
Yeah.
Possum.
I'm in a room with three dog owners.
We love dogs.
I love dogs as well. So I just lived with Seren for a week. And fell in love with his dog, Larry. Laddy Bird. What are we called?
Larry Dean.
Laddy Dean. Little doggy Dean. Man, I fell in love with that freaking dog.
Larry's a great name,
such
too.
Such a great dog. Great name, great dog. Loved everything about him.
He's right. A beautiful little boy.
Larry's a rescue, is that right?
Correct, yeah.
Already named Larry? Or did you name him Larry?
His name was Tonka.
Oh, that's pretty cute, but Larry's great.
Yeah, Larry... Tonka was too close to our old dog, Chunky.
Okay, yeah.
And we were emotional about
that. Too hard. One of my favourite dogs is this cheeky little dog. Ooh. In our local park. It's this old guy. He's not old. He's like maybe in his 60s. This guy with two little fluffy Maltese dogs. And I don't know what one of them is called because she behaves. But I know what the other one is because he's naughty and he's always on the wrong side of the park as they're trying to leave. And it's just this grown man going... And I find it funny every time.
That's so cute. There's a dog near the park where we take Larry, and they're always barking. They hate each other.
Mm.
And the owner is an older lady as well, and she's always trying to restrain her dog. And for ages I thought that her dog was also called Larry because she was going, Larry. Or I thought she knew my dog's name. But her dog's called Harry.
Harry so and Larry, Larry and they and hate Harry, each
they
other.
They hate each other.
Because imagine how cute that would be if they were best friends.
Yeah.
My dog's best friend's name is Nelson.
You've got to call your dog
Nelson Munts.
Schmelson.
Yeah. It's very cute.
Right, all the answers are in.
Dave, what's your dog's best friend's name? Is it Dave?
Yes, it is. Humphrey and Little Dave.
And tell what you call yourself.
Hello, I'm Little Dave. I'm my dog's only friend.
My son's two fin squidfish. I mean, my dad. Oh, fuck.
What a beautiful character to get you just that one created out. This for us.
So here's the final question. Question number 7. What is the synopsis of the 1990 fantasy epic Time Barbarians? And we're happy with triple points here. Everyone okay with
triple
that?
Triple points.
Anyone can win.
Can I add a word to mine?
Yeah?
Yeah, cool.
Okay.
Is I it at the end or do
now
you have
that you
to
know
re-
it's worth triple
you have
points?
To rewrite it?
Yeah.
You're rewriting the whole thing?
No, I'm just... You should be able to figure that out.
I wouldn't trust him.
Honestly, not for triple points,
I think
mate.
You need to make it very clear.
I think I can make that work.
He's going to just put that at the end. He's going to put
I'll say,
in the
and then Soren said another thing, and this is it.
And then, sorry, I just have to read the second part of Soren's message.
All right. I mean...
I forgot it was a fantasy epic, that's what...
Okay. Here are your options. A wealthy man uses a time machine to kidnap primitive humans to display in his museum. Soon, a schoolboy befriends one of the young barbarians, and they discover they have a lot in common, before hatching a plan to return everyone to their own times. Everyone. So I imagine, like...
Not a lot of work required for most of the world.
Yeah, most of them are there already. We're still counting that. We're still counting. Yeah, we put them in their own time. We let them remain in their own time. That's option one. Two, we've got an evil wizard kills the barbarian queen and escapes through a time portal to modern day LA. Ooh. The warrior king chases the wizard time, seeking revenge. Instead, finds himself trapped in a world he doesn't understand.
Jesus Christ.
That's option two. Option three, time's up for three barbers named Ian.
Three barbers named Ian.
When their scissors go blunt, forcing them to sell their shop and join a time-traveling circus.
You can just sharpen your scissors.
Ian.
There's people that go around to hairdressers and sharpen them for you.
Why do three people called Ian work together? What are the odds?
What are the chances? They're all hairdressers?
Barbara, Ian.
Forcing them to sell their shop and join a time-traveling circus. Their blunt scissors forced them. There's no other option.
So, Ed, what do you reckon of this one? It's good, isn't it?
I would like to know how time barbarians is spelt, actually.
Nah, I can't be certain. There's no mention of Daryl Summers playing the lead.
Time Barber Ian. It's funny.
That's option three. Option four, Dr. Mitchell Brody makes a scientific breakthrough in time travel, but a small group of barbarians end up stumbling into his time portal and find themselves in modern day New York.
Oh, it's another modern day, modern day one.
Yeah, have they all been time traveling so far? I guess the time is pretty,
it's pretty
strongly putting that idea out there. So that's option four. Option five, a barbarian outcast, shunned for being gifted with brains rather than brawn, discovers the secret to time travel. When his tribe is slaughtered by Romans, he must travel through time to save them. And if he's lucky, find himself in the process. Or final option, number six, the caveman and his dog are thawed in 1960s Mongolia. At first, the local people...
Okay, so we found Dave's.
We don't know that.
We do know it. We know it for sure.
At first, the local people are fascinated, but everything goes. I'm so sorry. This is a real. This could be the real one. At first, the local people are fascinated, but everything goes a bit skew-if when he reveals his insatiable thirst for blood.
Is it more than it's done?
That's it. Okay, so we've got... so that's all six. So you got the wealthy museum owner who uses a time machine. We've got an evil wizard who uses a time machine. We've got three barbers named Ian who...
Who were forced
to join a time traveling circus. We've got Dr. Mitchell Brody making a breakthrough in time travel, ending up in modern day New York. He's already in modern day New York. The small group of barbarians end up stumbling into the time portal. Got a barbarian outcast shunned for being gifted with brains rather than brawn, who, if he's lucky, will find himself in the process. Or a caveman and his dog who are thawed in the 1960s in Mongolia. And at first the people are fascinated, but everything goes a bit skew-iff when he reveals his insatiable thirst for blood. There's no... I mean, I would say that the one that stands out to me is the barber's named Ian. The rest feel like they're all equally believable or not believable. But probably the one that's most believable is that one about the barbers. But that's my thoughts, and I'm not really playing. And
I don't know why you feel the need.
Really trying to.
I don't want to push anyone in any particular direction.
Here's the problem, right? Mm-hmm. I'm pretty confident I know the actual answer.
Oh, you know the movie?
I think so.
Well,
or I can have a stab here. So if I could get triple point, like I could win this.
Yeah.
Maybe. Probably not. Anyway, but barber's named Ian.
You're pretty sure that's the real one.
It deserves my points. You know what I mean?
Oh, tricky. So who are we up to go first here?
I think it's Dave.
Dave, all right, Dave. What are you locking in?
Dr. Mitchell.
Dr. Mitchell for Dave.
Okay, well, if he's going to have a real crack, then I'm going to go for option number two, the wizard.
Evil wizard for Jess.
Okay.
And Saren?
I want to just point out that... a little bit of a bias I have. Or, bias is the wrong word, but I have seen this film.
Oh, okay.
And it's definitely the barber's named Ian. No. I'm going
to
lock in.
They're forced to close.
I think it's the one where he finds himself in the... Hopefully.
Where he finds outcast. Himself. In the process.
The barbarian outcast,
yeah. Okay, so that's what Saran's going for. All right, let's go through the answers
now.
We should have all
worked together there just to beat the house.
Because
I think the house will still take it.
True.
What's the thing
about
the house?
Because we can't all be right, can we?
No.
But we think you're right because you know the film.
Have you seen this movie?
Maybe.
Oh.
So firstly, Dave wrote The Caveman and His Dog are Thawed in 1960s. I've got to the point because we've done this live a few times. And we've done a few for Patreon, and it's become like, what's that thing where it's like a Pavlovian response where I see you've written a film synopsis and I'm just ready to laugh.
Thanks.
So I'm like absolutely selling you out before you've had
honestly,
any chance.
It's a privilege to see you crack.
To
see your crack. Thank you. Yes,
is that right? Pavlovian response?
Yep.
Yeah. Saran went for, and this is a beautifully written one, but this one was written by the house, I'm afraid. Saran, the one you went for there, that Matt Rowe from Stanmore wrote that one. And that feels very, I reckon I would have picked that one too. Shunned for being gifted with brains rather than brawn.
The only thing that made me think maybe it's not that is the last sentence.
Which is the bit that I added that in to try to think, because that made me, I thought that was funny to, that whenever funny. Somebody says something like that. So that's funny that was the only thing that weakened
it. That was throwing me off the scent.
His ones were too well written. I dumbed them down a little bit. Yeah. Like genuinely, because I'm like, these are too good.
He is too talented.
Then Dave, Saren's was, yes, the three barbers named
fucking
Ian.
Fucking hell, was Saren.
It? Was it?
That's one of the best things I've ever so heard good. In my life.
Can I just point out that they initially, in the first draft, they were just going to join a travelling circus. And then
time
Matt reminded me that it's a fantasy epic, so I had to make it a time travelling
circus.
Holy
shit, that was so good.
Force them.
Dave, we fucked up there. We should have both gone for that. Saren just swinging in at the end, taking the win.
Points.
That is incredible. That is so funny. They're three barbers named Ian. They're scissors. He loves it. They're scissors blunt.
What are you going to do in that situation?
Well, you're close. It's like my hands are tied. I'm going to have to join a time-traveling circus.
Holy shit.
I've got no transferable skills.
That's so good.
The house also wrote The Wealthy Man with the museum.
It's Dr. Mitchell, is it?
That means...
Well, one of you are correct, I think.
One of you two are correct.
Wow.
But Jess wrote Dr. Mitchell, giving Jess 3 points there.
Fantastic.
And Jess also got the correct one, getting another 3 points. Great, so that's work. 6 points to Jess, 3 points to the house.
Whoa.
Oh, you're... It is so close. Saran finishes on 0 points.
Congratulations.
Dave on 4 points. Jess on 11 points. But the house wins on 12 points.
No!
Damn the dastardly you, house.
Damn you!
When we did the live episode and the crowd booed every time the house score came out, that made me feel so good. I'm like, that was the night I'm like, there might be someone in this show. Love a villain.
Yep.
And I'm rarely the villain because I'm such a nice guy. Famously nice.
Too nice.
Oh, thanks for going with me there. Thanks so much for joining us. I thought you all played brilliantly well. This game doesn't necessarily always reward good writing, Saran. Oh. You got 0 points, but you provided so much entertainment. Where can people find you if they want to?
On Instagram, at Saran Comedy, and soon to be on Channel 31, a show with Matt Stewart called Good Tucker.
Oh, looking forward to that getting out there. Dave, where can people find you?
People can listen to my voice every week on our other podcast, Do Go On, History Podcast, and my other show is called Book Cheat. It's a book club podcast where I've read a classic book, so you don't have to bother. I'll tell you about it.
Really, our little podcast network has everything you need. We've got shows about history, literature, music, trivia.
God,
now,
we sound
and
boring.
Monkeys.
We sound so boring.
And monkeys.
You forgot the monkeys bit.
Oh.
I have made that.
History.
Sounds like
literature.
we've got all pieces of the bloody Trivial Pursuit.
We're all the worst fucking classes at high school.
Monkey.
Okay, I liked monkey.
Oh, I got double monkey after
double
lunch.
Double monkey.
Jess, how about you? Where can people find you?
People can find me on Instagram at Jess Perkins and on Do Go On, which, yeah, I guess it's a little bit of history, but it's mostly comedy and friendship. And you can also hear me on Simply the Jest. I am the titular Jest. And we hear stories from Australia's wackiest callers. It's a lot of fun. Check it out.
Just quickly before we go, here's there were very few Time Barbarian reviews online, but Bill Gibran of DVDtalk.com gave the film 3 stars, saying Time Barbarians is a total hoot, a helplessly ham-fisted mess of a movie. He loved it.
That sounds
to give
great.
It enough to give it 3 stars out of 5. Thanks so much, everyone, for listening. As we are a new show, it'd be great if you could help get the word out there. Please give us a 5-star review and tell your friends if you think you know anyone who might enjoy it. This has been Who Knew It with Matt Stewart. I need a sign off. Any ideas? How do I finish this show?
Snap back to the Wednesday sun.
That is too deeply in jokey.
What about something like, what about Who Knew It? Turns out it was The House.
Oh, yeah.
Or whoever the winner was.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Who Knew It? Turns out this week it was The House. Good day, everybody.
I prefer Dave. You always add an extra thing on the end. It just ruins the whole.
He just panics. Broom.
That
window.
Was you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.